Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Concerning uncollectible bad debt, write-off of accounts receivable recorded in the Emergency Medical Services Fund. 15 is concerning state law.
So we're writing off $9 million worth. How much are we writing off?
$10 million.
$10 million. So all this is just self-pay? No.
$13,000 was self-pay, yes, sir. $13,000 claim number self-pay for a total of $9.7 million.
Yes.
No insurance whatsoever.
Well, it is a conversation. I mean, because even to, if I was a citizen not sitting here, I mean, $10 million and, you know, I need a sidewalk, or you're writing off $10 million, that's tough. I mean, and so we need to break it down and at least present that in a way that says we can't collect, or there's another methodology in which we can get it. If we can't get it, we just can't get it. I mean, or if Commissioner Cola has a bright idea how we can negotiate with insurance companies, let's take that idea.
So this is the conversation about the EMS bad debt write-off at the county commissioners in Escambia County we're having last week. The main voice you hear there is Lumen May. Eric Gilmore, the director of public safety, says 13,000 people that EMS serves because the county runs the ambulance service. Okay, in Santa Rosa, Lifeguard contracts with the county to run the ambulance service. In Escambia County, the county just runs it. You know, in a lot of these kind of potential enterprise endeavors, you can either contract it out. You know, you can run the landfill yourself, or you can have somebody else run the landfill. You can, you know, like the city runs the airport, or maybe you could have somebody else run the airport. You know, all kinds of things like this. When it comes to EMS, you can either run it yourself or you can have somebody else run it. Santa Rosa Lifeguard runs it. Escambia runs it, right? And periodically, we have to have this conversation about writing off the uncollectible bad debt, the money that we just can't get from the people who call to get a transport to the hospital and then do not pay. It's an enormous amount of money, about $10 million. You heard them writing it off out of about 58 or so million collected. And so Robert Bender asked the question.
What's the national average on bad debt?
22%.
22%. And this is?
17%.
17%. So we're plus 5% to the national average,
right,
on bad debt write-off.
Right. I mean, and I don't care about that analysis, Robert, for me personally. I mean, I care about the analysis of breaking it down and see how can we improve it, rather. We're comparing it to the national average or what. I mean, if it's a way in which we can recover those dollars, even if it's just a million, that's a lot of money going back into the community.
That's right. I like that attitude from Commissioner May. I mean, $1 million is $1 million. Even improving by 10%, that's great. And Mike Kohler had asked the question, well, can we not somehow come in and pay? Because some of it is people who do not satisfy their deductible and they don't pay. Can we pay their deductible, say it's 20%, and then get the 80% compensation? And those are all good questions. So they had a lot of we don't know. And so they went to the night meeting and they found out from Eric Gilmore that actually the numbers are a little bit different than what they thought. 71% of the non-pay is from people who don't have insurance. Even though, of course, you know, you have all kinds of insurance options out there and you still have Obamacare is available and, right? And, you know, there's no Medicaid, no Medicare, no self-insurance, nothing. They're just paying for themselves. And that's $7.2 million. Well, there's no deductible alternative there because it's self-pay, right? 17%, $1.7 million is from commercial where they have regular accounts, you know, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, and they haven't met their deductible. There might be some ways to work on that one. They're going to look into it. And then 6% comes from Medicare, and Medicaid is at like 0.1% or something like that. It's very small numbers. So Stephen Berry then asked what I thought was a very good question, which is Commissioner District 5, then what can we learn from other agencies about this?
Can we just, you know, try to take advantage of maybe some other state resources and just see if there's any other counties that have been successful in any other method, and you know, just kind of
yeah, who's doing it right?
I mean, pull some of our percentages. I mean, you know, if so, that 71% of this is uninsured. Okay, so that's 71% of you know, whatever that number that we're having to write off. You were saying 16-17%, whatever that number is.
17%, okay. Yes, sir.
All right, so that, I mean, we can calculate what that is and just kind of compare that to some other like-sized counties. I mean, you know, and just see what those numbers are. I mean,
yeah, we're not the only ones having this problem. And by the way, this is worth mentioning. I'm sure that Lifeguard has debt they can't collect. Every medical hospitals have this problem. Doctors have this problem. It's uniquely problematic for hospitals and public transport, but, you know, like ambulances. But still, everybody's got this problem. And of course, what winds up happening is either taxpayers pay for it by uncollected revenue, therefore becomes a debt write-off, or, you know, insure, when we pay our regular health insurance, we're paying for this too, right? Because we're covering people who shouldn't be taking transports, and we're covering the hospitals who have to charge fees in order to compensate for what they don't get collected. I mean, there's a whole cascade of consequences here that, you know, you and I as taxpayers and insurance carrier or insurance holders actually wind up paying. But okay, he's saying a good question. Why don't we find out what other counties do, and maybe we can learn from them. Maybe they can learn from us. Maybe we can all get better at this and push 16 or 17 down to 10%. That'd be great. Eric Gilmore says, well,
So we will try to do that. The issue is the other counties don't want to share what their debt write-off is because they don't want to, you know, it's a bad number. They don't want to publicize that.
So it's not that they don't want to share their strategy for winning. It's they don't want to tell you how bad the problem is because they don't want to go into public and say, man, we're writing off $10 million this quarter or half or semi-annually or whatever the period might be.
We have to do public records requests to other agencies who are government agencies so we can get those numbers. And they're still reluctant to get those to us. But we will try to get that information. Yes,
they sir. Have to do records requests to get what here in Escambia we consider a public record is what's the bad debt write-off. We'll come back to this in a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And it looks like it's backed up at the front gate of Pensacola NAS, and thank you for calling that in. Now, it's backed up past Sunset at almost to Barrancas and Gulf Beach Highway, so a little slow getting into NAS, at least the front gate this morning. If you have traffic tips, text them in, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So back to this conversation about, well, apparently some counties don't even like to say how much bad debt they're writing off, which again, see, this is kind of a weird one because bad debt is a part of business, okay? That is a part especially of medical business. So it's not something we should be ashamed of. We shouldn't be hiding it. We shouldn't celebrate it if the number is too high. But if the number is 5 points better than the national average and 2 points better than other counties in Florida that are doing it, you know, maybe we're doing great. It's better now than it was in the past. So anyway, Commissioner Bender says, yeah, they don't like to do this in public in other counties.
I was going to say, I think a number of counties don't do this. You know, I think we're one of the few that actually take it to the board,
take it to the board and
write it off, whereas others just write it off.
Well, if we don't have to do it, I mean, I prefer we didn't do it either.
Well, they said
if we don't have to do this, I mean, why are we?
They send her straight to collection, yes, sir. So,
yeah, maybe that's a conversation. Yeah. And I just do not be part of a board meeting either.
Yeah.
So this is a fascinating admission from Stephen Barry, who's basically saying, it makes us uncomfortable every time this comes up because people think we're getting rid of $10 million because we can't collect it. And I don't want to be a part of that conversation either. If we can find a way to hide this out of the sunshine and not have to make these decisions like these other counties have figured out how to do, that's better optics for our political ambitions. See, I think we don't get to brag in Escambia County about like being more sunshine, more transparent, more public a lot of times, right? We seem to have more problems in this realm than some other places have. And so I think this is a bragging point. Other counties delegate the decision to write off bad debt to like the public safety director or the EMS chief or whatever. And we at least have this conversation. We should be bragging about that. You know, we're the ones that are doing it right and we're trying to do it better. And when it's in the public, then we'll pay attention. And yes, people misunderstand and people think it's a big deal that we're writing off $10 million, and it is, but it's money we never had in the first place. And we know there's a certain percentage we're never going to get. So, but I just think it's weird that Stephen Barry's reaction here is, well, can we hide this information too? Like, he actually said it at the end of the meeting.
You didn't miss the boat on the bad debt write-off, buddy. Maybe it'll be the last one we ever have to do that. Maybe Madam Counsel will find the clause that these other counties are not having to vote on this, and we won't have to vote on it again.
Don't worry about what $10 million can do for your district. Don't worry about it.
I mean, that's a weird place to have your heart set. Like, I'd like to hide more information. Can we do that, Allison? Like, even if you can, you shouldn't. This is healthy. And I like Lumen May's attitude here of, no, let's talk about this because maybe we find an extra $1 million. Maybe we find a way to do this better. It's the heat we get as public officials, even from people who don't understand the issue and maybe some from people who do, that come up with ideas like the idea of maybe, you know, Kohler came up with the idea because they were talking about this of let's maybe see if we can pay the deductible in front end and, you know, get the compensation on the back end. Maybe one of the other ideas that came up, Commissioners Barry and Bender were talking about, well, can we just find a way to help the people who don't have insurance get insurance? Can we get them insurance and then maybe this problem solves itself? And
so why wouldn't they be on? Why wouldn't they be eligible for Medicaid?
And we're making
Medicaid?
Contact with them. So can we provide information that helps them sign up for Medicaid?
We will absolutely explore that because whatever we can do to get them off of it to help us out, it help us help you.
Right. I mean, it. I hate to have the county buying people insurance, but if we can, you know, spend $2 million to gain $15 million or whatever, that's an investment. That's worth doing. So anyway, and again, Commissioner Lumen May is exactly right. This is a significant amount of money. By the way, side note on all of this is the repeated allegation that it is the frequent flyer, the repeat customer, the person who uses the ambulance, you know, over and over and over and doesn't pay. Remember I said there was 13,000 people, that's the 70% of self-payers who aren't paying, but how many people are using it multiple times?
Tamika, how many of these are repeat customers, though, that are doing this? And frequent flyers. And the question I ask that is...
2,699
are...
Repeat offenders.
Of the...
Frequent flyers.
Well, what can we do about that? You know, and I know there are all kinds of laws regulating the delivery of this service, but, you know, can you put them on a banned list? You know, can you tell them no? Can you, is there another way to do this that's better? And I know, look, Eric Gilmore is a sharp guy. He knows how to do this. Wes is sharp. They'll try to figure out some things to make some improvements. And, you know, hearing from the board that be creative is the design, you know, going forward, that's good news as well. I think it's a weird reaction to finding out that, you know, oh, maybe somebody else knows how to hide this out of the sunshine. Can we do that too? Instead of like, no, this is good to do and it's healthy. And here's why, you know, maybe you didn't understand it. But anyway, 437-1620, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
Proclaimed Patriot Day by President George W. Bush, September 11th is a day to remember those who lost their lives in those devastating attacks, but it's also a day to remember the first responders, the patriots, who rushed to the aid of their fellow Americans. September 11th reminds us that evil exists, but it also teaches us that goodness can prevail. Those first responders in New York City reacted selflessly, and many of them gave their lives for the sake of others. Their actions remind me of the greatest sacrifice in human history, which was when Jesus of Nazareth willingly laid down his life to offer a remedy for a sin-sick world. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, I urge you to confess your sin and trust Jesus today. And if you'll do that, the goodness of Christ will triumph over the wickedness of your sinful soul. So trust Christ today.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of Northstone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Fall is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs, cool weather color, and of course, winter vegetables. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got the answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. At New South Window, we bring the factory to you. Our windows and doors are made with quality in mind, and your products and insulation are backed by our lifetime warranty. That's because New South Window knows the importance of single-source accountability. We believe in removing the middleman so you get more for your money. This is real factory direct. One company, one call, guaranteed for life. Get New South proud.
For a limited time only, when you buy more, you can save more. Visit NewSouthWindow.com to learn more.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us Wednesday on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
All the big national news in a conversation with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins from 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Then, as of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
If you change your mind.
take a chance. I'm the first in line. Take a chance, take a chance. Honey, I'm still free. Take a chance, take a chance on me. Take a chance. If you need me, let me know. Gonna be around. Take a chance. If you got no place to go when you're feeling down. If you're all alone.
So I do want to apologize in advance. I don't know how it happened, but all day Friday I had Dancing Queen in my head. And I think it's because I stumbled across, I don't think I played it, but somehow, and so I know I'm probably giving you an ABBA headache all day today.
ABBA.
Seriously, like all day Friday. You know how you get those songs stuck in your
head?
Yeah,
and
you're like,
absolutely.
Out! Get out! Not that it's a bad song. I just didn't want to hear it 800 times. And for me, it's like those 8 seconds you hear over and over.
Right.
7:25 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And taking a look around, the only thing that I'm seeing right now, usual areas of congestion, and then stuff just pops up. Okay, 90 and Beulah Road, there is a roadblock now, so certainly use caution in that area. And it's usually busy in that area anyway, of course, because it's Beulah and 90, but certainly use caution right there. It looks like Marlane Drive, Mobile Highway, is showing an accident. The road is open. Navy Boulevard, and 295, so Fairfield, it looks like. That's an accident, but it looks like that roadway is open, and then the front gate at NAS is backed up past Sunset, almost to Barangas and Gulf Beach Highway. Traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. 726 here on News Radio 92.3. If you oversee employee benefits and HR and payroll and stuff for your company, Torgerson Causey is great at this stuff, and they will find ways to make it inexpensive, less expensive options, you know, or just manage it for you if you're tired of managing it for yourself. I know we started using them here at News Radio in Cat Country, I don't know, about 6 years ago, I think it was now. And they gave us choices that we did not have before, and they gave us customer service, which was way better than what we had before. I mean, seriously, they're fantastic. Great at answering questions, getting back with details. If my wife is happy, you know they're doing a great job because she is a very detail-oriented person. Think about the kind of person that would marry me. Very detail-oriented, right? And she is. And they give her good answers to her good questions. So if you're fed up, you're irritated, or you just want to have somebody else take care of it or find out if you can do it better, Torgerson Causey, 433-9996, 20 years plus doing business here locally. Check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. Interesting text from somebody here says, about this whole issue of Commissioner Barry's reaction to finding out that maybe they don't have to have the public conversation about the bad debt write-off for emergency medical services, the paramedics, the transports for ambulance. Somebody texted me and said, one wonders what other important budget and other items the commissioner works to keep out of the public light. I mean, if that's the sort of the heart, you know, like that's the attitude. Interesting. Yeah, fair question. 727, David Wayne is back in his news chair this morning after a good vacation. Welcome back, David. What's going on in the newsroom?
Families that lost loved ones in the 9/11 terror attacks are gathered today at the World Trade Center Memorial in Manhattan for the 22nd anniversary of the attacks. During a ceremony, the names of the victims that were killed will be read out loud. There will also be a moment of silence and the tolling of the bells. The migrant crisis continuing in New York City. Mayor Eric Adams there says all city agencies in New York are going to have to implement budget cuts of up to 15%. He called for those budget cuts over the weekend, just days after he said that the continued influx of 10,000 migrants every month could destroy New York City. And he estimates that the cost to New York taxpayers over the next few years could be as much as $12 billion. And a missing piece of Star Wars history going up for auction next month. An original 20-inch X-Wing Starfighter model was found after it had been missing for decades. It was used for filming some scenes in the original 1977 movie. And bidding for this model is estimated to start at $400,000.
It's 20 feet long, you said? Or 20 inches? What did you say?
20 inches.
20 inches, okay.
20 feet would be a big model.
Yeah, I'm just... Yeah, I would have trouble storing the 20-footer, but, you know, 20 inches, I could. I don't think I have the money.
It would fit nicely on your desk.
You know, no, it'd be way, all the Blue Angel stuff.
It'd be way better than that stack of cash you got there now, right? So,
I just have big old piles of Franklins sitting on the desk waiting for something to buy at auction from missing Star Wars memorabilia. Yeah. you know, here. Get up in the morning, take a little cash bath, you know.
Yeah, I like to roll around in mine.
Dive into your pool like Scrooge McDuck.
That's right.
Well, yep. I mean, I knew I made the big time when I could move up from pennies to nickels, you know. That's when it really got real. 729 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Football this weekend. LSU took out their FSU frustration on Grambling State 72-10. Florida State, meanwhile, took out its continuing just happiness, I guess, on Southern Miss 66-13. Good Lord. USC won over Stanford 56-10. The big news out of the weekend was Alabama. They had been, I think, number two. They are now number 10. They lost to Texas. It's now number four. I think Georgia is number one, and they play that. I'm sure they did. I didn't pay attention to the Georgia game. Sorry. No, yeah, 45-3 over Ball State. And War Eagle, you had Auburn won as well. And, of course, UWF also won. Huge win on the road at McHenry College. What do you have coming up, David?
Opening Doors is bringing in a consultant. We'll tell you why after Fox.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. It's September 11th, 22 years since the deadliest attack in American history. On American soil, President Biden will mark the occasion with service members in Alaska. He's on his way there now.
The trip schedule has been a test of endurance for sure. After arriving in Vietnam from the G20 summit in New Delhi yesterday, President Biden held a press conference where the fatigue was not ignored.
Staff, is there anybody haven't spoken to? No, I ain't calling on you. I'm calling on you. I said there are five questions.
Earlier today, President Biden met with government and business leaders. A focus during this trip has been expanding the U.S.-Vietnam relationship and strengthening Vietnam's semiconductor industry. To do so would be in the hopes of chipping away at China's stronghold on the sector. But the president maintained that this is not about hurting China.
Fox's Alexandria Hoff. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un's reported to be on a train on his way to Russia. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 731 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne right now. Beautiful morning, 72 degrees, partly cloudy skies here in Pensacola today. Opening Doors of Northwest Florida has brought in a consultant. It's their first step in an effort to create a new governance board, part of a plan to reduce homelessness here across our area. Now, according to the Pensacola News Journal, Opening Doors is now working with nonprofit consultant and CEO for the Florida Housing Coalition, Amanda Rosado. The organization has set up a committee that's comprised of community members, advocates for the homeless, local officials, organization staff, and they'll be evaluating a new governance structure. The names of the committee members have not been confirmed as of yet, but Opening Doors does serve as the area's official continuum of care organization that coordinates with the federal government as they address homelessness. Rosado reportedly told the organization that having a separate governing body is for the best and makes for a larger, more diverse representation. Family members have identified the victim of a shooting on Saturday morning as being 38-year-old Jarvis Johnson.
This shouldn't have happened to him at all. You know, he was in his own comfort zone, minding his own business, and, you know, this happened to him.
That's Johnson's sister, Calandria Johnson, and she's urging the gunmen to turn themselves in. Right now, investigators are still looking into who the shooter was, why they fired the gun, and the sheriff's office asking anybody with information to contact them or to call Crime Stoppers. A Pensacola man facing charges after deputies say they found illegal narcotics in a vehicle over the weekend. 37-year-old Jeremy Chadwick was arrested on Saturday. The sheriff's office says he was arrested after deputies in a canine unit investigated a suspicious vehicle near North W Street in the 6000 block. Deputies say after searching that vehicle, they found cocaine, methamphetamine, marijuana, illegal steroids, and a rifle with ammunition. Chadwick was the owner of that vehicle. He was taken to the Escambia County Jail. A Milton man has died after a crash. It happened over the weekend on State Road 89, and troopers say a southbound truck crossed over into oncoming traffic. That caused a head-on collision with a sedan. The driver of the sedan died at the scene, has been identified as a 48-year-old man. The driver of the truck also taken to the hospital with serious injuries. Well, new townhome development's been approved over on Fairchild Street. The Fairchild Village development will include 32 townhomes, cover about 3.5 acres. That was approved by Escambia County August 2nd. It's owned by DP Developers of North Florida. And according to the News Journal, it'll include a road that splits the townhomes in half. They'll be facing each other. And the developers paid $89,000 for that property back in December of 2021. There was a big crowd over the weekend gathered for gumbo cars and, of course, a great cause as well. The annual gumbo cook-off and car show for the local Haji Shriners was held.
These great men spend all their time putting back to their community and also the children of the Children's Hospital. It's really cool to be able to do, but the camaraderie and the friendship here is really profound.
That is Eric Hansen. He was one of the celebrity judges for the gumbo cook-off. How do you get that gig? That'd be fun. He was able to sample the gumbo from 14 different teams that were competing during the event. And of course, all the money goes to the local Haji Shriners and also the Shriners Hospital. They provide free medical care for kids with unique medical conditions. 7:35 right now, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Candy, what are you seeing?
Front gate of Pensacola NAS is backed up past Sunset, almost to Barrancas and Gulf Beach Highway. We're also watching an accident at 90 and Beulah Road. It says roadblock, use caution, so disabled vehicle, it looks like, in addition to that roadblock, be careful there. Marlane Drive, Mobile Highway, showing an accident. It looks like the road is open, though. Navy and Fairfield showing an accident right there at that turn. But it looks like it's been moved off to the side. And then Highway 90 in Woodbine and Pace, the right turn lane is blocked. So use caution there. And wherever you are, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
We are going to be seeing a beautiful day today with just a small chance of a stray shower. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies with a high near 93. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. For Tuesday, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 92. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 75. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, we've got 72 in Pensacola, 75 in Gulf Breeze, and 70 in Milton. Our next news at 8. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kishenko with Your Money Now. A deposit of lithium recently discovered along the Nevada-Oregon border may be among the world's largest, having potentially huge implications for the transition to electric vehicles. Scientists say the deposit exists in a crater about 28 miles long and 22 miles wide. It's believed the volcanic crater contains 20 to 40 million metric tons of lithium, a figure that would dwarf deposits in Chile and Australia. Scientists say the geology appears promising, but caution there hasn't been significant prospecting in the area. Shares of Chinese tech giant Alibaba fell 3.5% in Asia today after the company said in a surprise move, outgoing CEO Daniel Zhang will also be stepping down as chairman and CEO of its cloud business. In June, Alibaba announced that Zhang was bowing out as both CEO and chairman on September 10th to focus on the cloud intelligence business. On Wall Street, futures pointing to a higher open. That's Your Money Now.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, happens every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, it's the Neil Young tribute band Rust and Gold.
Old man, look at my life. I'm a lot like you.
They'll be bringing the Neil Young experience to Bands on the Beach this Tuesday at 7, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority. And remember, no pets or glass allowed.
Hey, this is Andrew McKay, and it's hurricane season, and we are ready with informative, local, and dependable coverage. Our Storm Experience News team will be here for you with breaking information, including reports from both the Escambia and Santa Rosa County Emergency Operations Centers, live press conferences and interviews with officials, and comprehensive and accurate coverage, along with our TV partners at WEAR Channel 3. We'll help you through the storm. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Start your mornings with Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9. Followed by the Pensacola Expert Panel, or Pep Talk. Then, join the national news conversation with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins at 11. Fox News' Guy Benson takes over at 2. And join Gracie wrap up your workday from 4 till 7. And then, Dave Ramsey takes over.
On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
It's hard to say that I'd rather stay awake when I'm asleep, 'cause everything is never as it seems. 'Cause I get 1,000 hugs from 10,000 lightning bugs as they tried to teach me how to dance.
There's sensitive
data that's out there. It's being held possessed unlawfully, in my opinion. And the individual who possesses it unlawfully continues to disseminate it, goes on the radio, says he thinks it's a public record. Now the clerk has a copy. We don't know, but the News Journal has a copy. So
you have Commissioner Jeff Burgosh in the evening meeting last Thursday talking about the text messages from his phone that he took his phone in, his personal phone, not the government phone, his personal phone. He took it in to have it worked on, and he's given a variety of different explanations here. One thing he said was, I was going on a trip overseas and I needed to protect the information. One was that he was out of memory and he couldn't buy more memory. Things were being deleted. I think there was another one, having trouble with the phones, glitching. And then you also have the official account of this from the IT department in the deposition that they've given that's public record. We read this to you a couple weeks ago, that it was Apple locked himself out of it. You know, and he took his personal phone in because it had a mixture of things on it. Now, I don't, did he go in because, hey, help me with my phone? Is that appropriate use of county resources? Well, there's county records on there, text messages, public record. So I don't know. I don't really object to that. That's not, to me, a big issue. But there's a mixture of stuff on there, stuff from his personal life, presumably text with friends, family, that kind of stuff. That's not a public record. The PNJ, when they published an article on this a couple of weeks ago, they included a text message between him and his wife that had to do with Ramey Edler. I don't even think that's a public record, even though it's about county business, because I tend to think that husband and wife is privileged, so I just tend to think that doesn't qualify. But then, there's also, he worked at a company, he doesn't work there anymore, but he used to work on base, and people reported to him, and, he says there's stuff on there related to that. Including I think he's kind of implied that there were employees who sent him medical records or excuses about why they weren't coming in or stuff like that. I'm not really sure, but something to that degree that would not be a public record because that's obviously his business. And then you have county business, and county business is going to be some mixture of standard public record and then maybe privileged communications with an attorney. Like if he's talking to Allison Rogers about something, that might be temporarily protected while the county's in a lawsuit, but it's eventually a public record. That's kind of a will eventually, but isn't yet. But he keeps saying that there's all kinds of other stuff on there, that there's sensitive data, that there's social security numbers, that there's, bank accounts or security information, that there's medical health information, stuff that he says should have been redacted at the very least and would never have been a public record in the first place.
The individual who's a former employee says it was on his desk. He says he read it, says he still has it. Now he's given it to people. I think that needs to be stopped. He's being investigated. He made his bed. He's going to lay in it. And I think from this point forward, I think the county needs to make an effort to stop that.
He's talking about Jonathan Owens, a former aide to Commissioner Underhill, who ran against Burgosh last time around. He can't run against him this time because Jeff Burgosh has redistricted him out of his district. he could move, but he can't run against him this time unless he changes residence. Anyway, that's who's got it. We, of course, had him on the radio. That was part of this whole story. Commissioner Burgosh repeatedly talks about the radio interview. He's talking about our interview. He just doesn't like to say my name. It's kind of funny. But anyway, and Channel 3 did a good coverage of this on Friday as well. And thank you, Channel 3, for the credit on the interview and all that. So he says he's read it. Jeff kind of mixes truth and fiction all together a lot of times. And when he says he said he's read it, he did. When he said he's said he's got it, he did. But when he says he gave it out to other people, Jonathan's never said that. He certainly didn't tell me that. So the allegation that Jonathan is out there, distributing it to other people, I would say that's unestablished. He lumps the PNJ in there and he says he gave it to the PNJ. The PNJ in their article specifically said they didn't get it from Jonathan. They actually went to him to corroborate the authenticity of it. Any case, what does Jeff want to do about all this?
I move that the board authorize and direct the county attorney's office to file in a court of competent jurisdiction an appropriate legal proceeding to address the downloaded text messages that were discussed this morning at agenda review. That's my motion.
We have a motion.
Okay. Second.
Second discussion. Commissioner Kohler.
Yeah, thank you. So the motion in itself, Jeff, sounds good. But for me, it's not government transparency.
So why does Mike Kohler, District 2, say it's not government transparency?
I think the man that you want to go after is sitting in the back right there.
Sure he is.
And I think we ought to give him an opportunity to talk. But here's what I want to say first. My problem with this is I don't know what he did. My problem is there's been no accountability internally, first.
That's true. We haven't had any clarity on this. I have asked Wes Moreno about this a couple times, and he says we don't know, and the FBI is still investigating. Okay.
We filed an FBI report, and I believe even if I don't like somebody, they get due process. I've had a lot of employees that I work for I don't like. Lots of them.
It's Lumen
yawning,
I think.
That doesn't mean they're not innocent until proven guilty. We have not gotten the FBI report yet, and I'd like to know what's on it, Jeff. I really would. I don't know what legal charges we're going to go forward with. I wish I knew that.
Me too.
That's the scope that I'm having a complication with, because right here, we don't have a name. I don't know what the legal actions is. And for me, you're saying I have untethered legal without coming back to the board to
Mike,
go
it's very easy.
With
you
this.
Can vote against it. It's very easy.
But you see my point?
It's very simple.
Just what's in the motion. It doesn't matter what's that. I mean, that's just.
I know. But the motion doesn't identify the person or the scope. Does
well, then see if he wants to include it.
So that's Commissioner Bender, who was off mic, but I kind of captured it anyway. That's a fascinating response from Commissioner Bergosh. Well, if you don't understand it, just vote against it. I mean, I'm not going to explain myself. I've said all I want to say. Just vote against it. I don't have to defend myself. I don't have to explain myself. Because what Kohler is saying is, so we're going to empower the county attorney to basically carte blanche, do whatever she thinks makes sense in this case, with no target, no person named, no limit of scope of authority. Just go do your stuff. Like, it's a bounty or something. It's weird. And Mike Kohler is saying, I can't vote for that when I don't know what the limits are. I don't know what the scope is. I don't know what the target is, other than to recapture your texts and prevent them from being disseminated. What really is the legal remedy? And can they just go after anybody?
Well, I'm not going to identify people. I mean, it's a broad motion. I mean, I'm not going to. I'm not going to call
responsible. Commissioner Kohler, you were right next to me this morning. We had a thorough discussion on the topic. You asked who it was. I named him. Everyone in the room knows it. He went on a radio show and proclaimed it.
Anyone else that we're going to go after?
You know what? I've made the motion. I stand by the motion that I made. I made it in conjunction with the attorney.
Not answering that question.
So you didn't answer the question. Is there anyone else that we could potentially go after with this motion?
I think if there's anyone that possesses this file unlawfully, the legal office would have the ability to go after that. Yeah.
Without coming back to the board?
Yep.
With no discussion?
Madam Attorney, your thoughts on that as the motion?
Yeah, you can barely hear her in the background, but twice Allison Rogers said, yep, that's what we're going to do, yep. We're going to go after everybody who's got it. So that would be what, the clerk's office, allegedly they have one, the PNJ, they've said they had it, didn't get it from Jonathan Owens, they said. I don't know other people who may or may not. Jeff keeps saying he's giving it away to all these people. Jonathan never said he gave it to anybody, except for Ramey Edler's legal team, and they didn't look at it, and they went to the judge and said, we'd like to get access to the records on here that the county agrees are relevant to this case, and they're going to have a whole negotiation about that coming up here shortly. But I don't know. Jeff says he knows all this stuff, and also he claims what's on the record, which how do we know whether that's accurate? I don't know whether there's Social Security numbers on this thing or bank account information. Maybe there is. Maybe there's not. Why would you have that on your phone to begin with? Don't you delete that stuff? I mean, if an employee texts you, hey, you know, here's my doctor's diagnosis and here's my Social Security number and here's my credit card and my bank information. I mean, theoretically, you know, okay, thanks. Delete. I mean, that's like your very first thing you do. No, instead, we just keep it for whatever reason. I'm not quite sure. And then we take it to the county and say, hey, here, deal with this data. Uh-oh. That's now you permitting somebody else to look at it. I mean, the first break in the chain of custody was when Jeff took it into the, well, when he kept it. But then when he took it into the county, there's a little bit of a break of data there, too, okay? 437-1620. We'll come back to this in a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And there's a lot to watch out for. Sunset is backed up. The front gate of Pensacola NAS is backed up past Sunset to Barrancas and Gulf Beach Highway. Slow on I-10 eastbound starting at the Car City exit. It was a lot slower backing up to Pine Forest, but moving now. Beulah backed up north and southbound after an accident at Beulah and 9 Mile this morning. You're going to want to watch for a stalled car. Accident at Highway 90 in Woodbine and Pays. And Woodbine is backed up southbound past Woodbine Baptist Church and everything else. And then very slow eastbound 98 in Winhaven. Again, all the way through, but it looks like just lights maybe. I'm not showing an accident there. Now, if you know different or see something or have a traffic tip, text it in if you could. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Yeah. Back to this conversation about the text messages. Oh, somebody texted in, was Jonathan like out on a street corner handing this out?
Hey, buddy, you want to buy it?
And that's the funny thing is he's never said he's given it to anybody, but Jeff is just running with that like it's true. He's the word I've settled on is embellish. Lying might be a bit strong because he'd have to know it's false for him to lie about it. But this is what he does, right? He mixes what's true with what's not true. Like when he says that he came on this show and said he gave it out. He did not. He did not. So that's false. But again, I give people the benefit of the doubt, whether they're just not very careful in their wording or whether they're lying. I don't know. But embellish, okay, at the very least. So back to this conversation about it. And by the way, Allison Rogers is going to be the one overseeing this. I'm confused as to how the county cares. Because if it's Jeff's phone, I mean, they should care about the internal, like who released it. They should care about that investigation. But if it's Jeff's personal stuff, well, that's Jeff's issue, okay? And if he wants to protect that information, I guess he could hire legal counsel to go after, you know, whatever. If it's his former work stuff, that would be their concern. If it's county business, it's public record, in which case we don't need to protect it. I'm not sure how the county gets into spending time and money on this, but, you know, okay, so here we go. He's got the votes, and he says, I don't care, just vote it down. And, you know, vote against me. I've got 3 votes, which he did. He actually had 4. Robert Bender voted with him.
In my opinion, the way that motion is crafted, we would follow whatever evidence we have. This is only for the civil arena. We have no authority to do anything criminally.
So, go ahead, Allison.
Yeah, and based on that motion, I feel like we would have enough authority to file against potentially multiple parties. It's up to the board to restrain or dictate whatever the board feels like we have authority to do.
Okay, so that was, I'm glad you said multiple parties, because that's pretty broad for me, not knowing what that means down the road.
Go get them, go to anybody you want. You don't have to come back here for permission. That is a broad legal authority for, again, a sort of dubious county responsibility.
What actually, can I ask you this? What are you looking at legally? Cease and desist in storage? Where are we going? I don't even know what the legal ramifications are here. What actually are we going to file? It's a legitimate question. I know it's complicated, but it's called transparency governance. I'm sorry, man. I've been through numerous of these. If we're going to do this, people need to know what we're doing. Come on. I'm not doing anything you wouldn't do in a court of law, in a CO's mask. I want to be with you, but I'm not going to give legal open borders on going after anybody.
Good for him.
I just can't, Jeff.
Well, yeah, again, Mike, vote against it. It's very simple. I believe I have the votes.
Okay. Yep, you know, got the
votes. Having the votes, what an arrogant thing to say. Well, you know, vote down, I've got the votes. I don't have to explain myself to you or, you know, like the citizens who are watching the meeting, because he's asking fair questions. At least Lumen May says the real issue is the internal.
There's a breach of confidence and trust that happened in our IT department. And we've told our administrator to go after that. I mean, going after the end user, to me, is not the solution. We have a problem internally.
Yeah, and as he says, that person, if they're still working for us, should be fired. And if they still work for us and they won't be fired, Wes should be fired.
I'll go on record. If there's somebody that's still here that did that and the administrator don't fire him, I'll make a motion to fire the administrator. I mean, because that person ought to be gone.
Yeah.
Bottom line, when you get to that point.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's all true. And Wes would fire the person if they found out who it is. So basically, they go through this whole long process of giving the motion again, and they ask Bergosh, what's the scope of this? And he says, well, the scope is whatever it takes. And Commissioner Bender asks Allison, you know, if she's got what she needs in this motion.
This is what you need. And
if it grows into something that I have concerns about, I can certainly bring it back to you all at the next board meeting.
Works for me.
So now Allison Rogers is the stopgap against this expanding into unjustified territory. I mean, that's what they're doing. They're delegating her to make that decision. All weird. Okay, so they voted 4-1. There you go. All done. She's go get them, I guess. What that means, not quite. I wonder if standing would even be an issue here. I don't know. I mean, you know, what's your standing as the county? A judge is likely to ask that question. What's your interest in this? And I guess then they'd have to show that there was county relevant public identifying information, PII, on the phone. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it plays out. It was a weird conversation for sure. Well, I've got the votes. Just vote against it if you don't like it. 7:53 on News Radio. Oh, and you know what? I haven't said this. I said this earlier, but I want to make sure and say it again. Mike Kohler brought up a good point. Jeff Bergosh is a victim. Absolutely. Absolutely he is. Personal stuff on that phone. Nobody has any business having that. Whether it's a lawsuit or not, I'm not sure, but nobody has any business having it. You know, former work stuff, same thing. Okay. And just generally, I mean, how would you feel if you found out that your phone, you took it somewhere that you thought you trusted and then it wound up in other people's hands? I mean, that would be maddening and infuriating. And I'm with him on that. I absolutely am. That part, totally agree. The only reason this is sort of relevant to the public conversation is the public record stuff, which historically other people have said I have not. Because I've not made a public records request that's been turned down, but other people have said they've asked for phone records and been told there aren't any. That's the only point that matters is what does the phone, what are the public records on the phone say, and have there been denials of public records requests related to that phone? That's the only real thing. The other stuff, no, I'm right. He is a victim. Most definitely. And that needs to be said. 755 News Radio 92.3. Oh, I went so long. Candy, why don't you give him traffic before we take a break?
Yeah, sure. Slow on I-10 eastbound starting at Carr City. Was a lot slower earlier backing up to Pine Forest. It is moving. It's just moving slow. Beulah backed up north and southbound after an accident at Beulah 9 Mile. Watch for a stalled car. Accident at Highway 90 in Woodbine. Woodbine backed up southbound past Woodbine Baptist. Slow eastbound 98. That's in Winhaven. And wreck on 3 Mile Bridge north and westbound. Either north or west, depending on how you look at it. To Pensacola, the accidents on the Pensacola side. Doesn't look like it's blocking anything, though. Hey, if you have traffic tips, though, text them in, if you could. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. I'm Andrew McKay.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division, for fun, call Benakis & Associates, now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates, leave the numbers to the experts.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing, these are words you hear a lot about. But what exactly do they mean? How do you get started? Where do you get started? Well, you can start by tuning in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this morning at 10:30. Join me, Tasca King. I'll show you how to navigate the changing and fast-growing landscape of digital advertising. This morning at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Are you looking for your forever floors? We got them.
Hi, we're Buck and Ashley Deese, the proud owners of Deese Elite Concrete Coatings, where we make concrete pretty.
4 times stronger than epoxy with a lifetime warranty. Our coatings are perfect for your garage, patio, pool deck, and more.
For one-day installation, trust the Deese Elite experience, now offering financing.
Get your forever floors by calling us today at 850-329-5599.
We make concrete pretty.
News Radio Pensacola. He's on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Who are you?
We are the Knights who say...
Ni! No, not the Knights who say ni.
The same!
Good morning, 7:58, News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is back in the newsroom this week after a much-needed and well-deserved vacation. What's going on in the newsroom, David?
Well, the remembrance ceremony in Manhattan is underway right now.
David Michael Barkway.
Colleen Ann Barco.
At the Pentagon, United States Navy PO Melissa Rose Barnes.
Those Matthew just some Barnes. Of the names being read this morning during the ceremony. 3,000 victims being recognized, along with the tolling of the bells and moments of silence.
And as we speak would have been the time. No, I have that wrong. 8:59, excuse me. It was all happening right now. Back then.
Stream us at newsradio923.com. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.